Lepo pozdravljeni.
Good afternoon and welcome to this announced press conference dedicated to the migration issue. As is customary, we have been joined by the State Secretary at the Ministry of the Interior, Mr. Boštjan Šefic. He will provide us with more detailed information, and the international aspect will be dealt with by Mr. David Borozina, Director General for EU Affairs at the Ministry of Foreign Affairs. Good afternoon. As we have explained yesterday at the press conference, Slovenia yesterday at 10 p.m. started with the implementation of the first special measure. This is a restrictive measure for the entry of migrants, for those who do not intend to apply for international protection in Austria or Germany. Then we tightened up the security at the green border, and the third measure, stricter checks at border crossings. All the activities are running smoothly. There were no considerable difficulties in the implementation of this first measure, or in simpler words, migrants arriving to Slovenia undergo the same procedure as they used to previously. We check their documents. So we check their personal documents, identification documents, or documents that were issued by other countries along the migration route to these persons. Then we conduct an interview with these persons. We register them and fingerprint them, and we take photos. So the first check is a security check. So the procedure remains the same in its entirety. And in the discussions, we also established their country of destination and whether they intend to apply for international protection in their country of destination. So if they apply for international protection in Slovenia, then, of course, we immediately initiate the relevant procedure. So, as I have stated before, everything is running normally. Yesterday and today, we held working meetings between the Slovenian and Austrian police. This also applies to contacts between the Slovenian and Croatian police. So the operational issues were further coordinated or discussed and agreed upon. All the registration activities are carried out at Dobova, as was the case in the past. So even after the introduction of the new measure, we have two exit points at Šentilj, where we have a new registration center on the Austrian side. This is a trial phase for this center, and that's why daily they receive 500 migrants. We send them in smaller groups to Austria, and at the second exit point at Jesenice, everything is running normally. The figures depend on the figures of arriving migrants to Slovenia. So on the 20th of November, Austria refused 19 migrants, 13 at Šentilj and 6 at Karavanke. they were registered again, and then Austria received all of them. On the 21st of November, Austria refused 22 migrants, and they are at the moment accommodated in the Center for Aliens. So we refused the entry of 15 migrants on our Slovenian-Croatian border, and Croatia accepted all these returned migrants. This data referred to the train that arrived yesterday at midnight or at 10 p.m., and then there was another train at 4 o'clock in the morning, and another one is expected today at 4 p.m. So we will apply the same procedure, and we will also closely monitor this procedure in order to detect any deficiencies, and of course we are going to coordinate everything with the two countries. I must tell you that cooperation with Austria remains at a very high level. However, it is also true that they are still coordinating certain open issues, and at the operational level, cooperation with Croatia is satisfactory. Should the Croatian government today be appointed, and I believe it will be, then on Monday we will invite the new Croatian minister to meet with us in order to discuss all the unresolved issues with respect to migration, and we will have an opportunity to exchange opinions as well and to agree on how to proceed. So I should also like to emphasize that the protection of the green border has been strengthened since the arrival of migrants, and we have further tightened up security, although we have not detected any special events or bigger illegal crossings. The border crossings with Croatia, everything is normal, and all the security events are within the normal framework in terms of quantity and so on. So there's nothing special in this respect. And now about the security situation, I must say that this situation is stable. We have tightened up security. So also considering other security events, everything is within the normal limits. And about the measure that was adopted, I can share with you the first assessments. So all the data refer to the first train that was then processed according to this new system. But this did not impose any new burdens or create any new problems. Additional police forces were deployed to the green border, and we have strengthened the activities at border crossings. The measure may have been questionable at a certain point in time, because if you restrict the flow, then of course this can have side effects. There can be an illegal influx as a consequence, and that's why we have the third measure. This is the protection of the green border and the international crossings where most people are arriving. So here the security has been tightened up in order to prevent the possibility of any such incidents. And I would also like to emphasize the opinion of the legal service of the European Council, stressing that when external borders are protected, Croatia, Romania, Bulgaria also play an important role. They have the same commitments as the Schengen countries, since they are part of the system. So the burden is shared with all these countries in order to prevent any other flows of migrations, those that are part of the side effect. Mr. Brusina will be able to tell you more. And I have to tell you a few words about the response to the initiative given by our Prime Minister. Well, this response is very positive. The countries and the ministries of the interior have provided a positive response. It is, of course, of extreme significance that we strengthen and provide assistance to the Macedonian police. Several activities were launched by the European Commission following this initiative. So we have an expert group of the Visegrad group, and within a week they are going to visit this border in order to see for themselves what kind of assistance is required by Macedonia. And the same is also our position, that we have to support and strengthen activities in Greece, although I believe there are around 300 members of Frontex already there. Greece also received special assistance for setting up accommodation centers and also funds for registration. They have advisors there in order for them to be able to carry out their activities properly. So we estimate that this initiative is, of course, very useful. And on the margins of the meeting of the interior ministers in Amsterdam next week, there will be a meeting of the representatives of the countries along the route together with the representatives of the Commission. So this will round up the political framework, and then we will also have the meeting of foreign ministers, and this will enable us to start with the implementation, because as we keep stressing, rapid and effective response is required. So much by way of introduction, and I believe you will have a number of questions.
Thank you, State Secretary. And now, as announced, we are going to hear from Mr. Brusina about the EU and international levels. Well, welcome on my behalf as well. It's been a very active and also fruitful week. It all started with the letter of our Prime Minister, Mr. Cerar. With this letter, he presented his initiative, additional assistance to Greece. Greece has already received assistance, but not everything is working fine. yet, and additional assistance to Macedonia so that it can control the Greek-Macedonian border and so that we can better manage the flow of migrants traveling along the Balkans route. The first objective is to control and restrict the flow, and the second one is to prevent a situation where migrants should remain stuck in the Balkans region without any possibility of traveling anywhere. This would be a very unfavorable situation, further destabilizing the region. This initiative gained a lot of support, and as early as on Tuesday, our foreign minister, Mr. Eriavec, traveled to Belgrade. He presented the initiative to the prime minister, a minister of the foreign affairs of Serbia. Our state secretary, Špinga, went to Prague. He presented the initiative to the Visegrad Group, that is Poland, the Czech Republic, the Slovak Republic, and Hungary. And during both visits, the countries reassured us that they are willing to help, particularly when it comes to Macedonia. Macedonia is not an EU member state, so it does not enjoy all the assistance that Greece does, and that's why we need also some bilateral initiatives. Through diplomatic channels, we send this letter to other EU member states for information, and we are also looking for support elsewhere. I must tell you that on the very first day, there was a lot of positive replies. We are particularly pleased about the reply of the Dutch presidency, who found this a major initiative, so they included it in their activities over the next 2 weeks. As has been mentioned, an informal meeting of the interior ministers next week, ambassadors of countries along the Balkans route have already discussed this in Brussels, and they discussed the operational implementation of this initiative. And today, we received also some replies from the European Commission. The European Commission has already sent its team to Macedonia to check what the needs of Macedonia there are so that they can implement their activities. Also, at the informal meeting, a discussion of ministers of the of foreign affairs is expected. We are working with other ministries, and we are preparing the discussion to take place. In Macedonia, in addition to our policemen, you also have police forces from Croatia, Serbia, and the Czech Republic. The V4 countries are going to also send their experts to examine the situation, some sort of a fact-finding mission. So we believe that these activities will soon be underway, and hopefully the migrants leaving this border will be able to get the status. So it's all about helping the refugees who are entitled to international protection. We also welcome the progress when it comes to cooperation with Croatia. Croatia is now also involved in these activities, and they also intend to tighten controls at their external border, so they have asked for assistance too. We also welcome the discussions between Chancellor Merkel and the President of Turkey, so hopefully Turkey will be able to better implement all the agreed activities. European Commission visited Ankara this past week, and we are counting on results quite soon. This is my brief introduction, but later, if you have any questions, by the way, the Dutch presidency has announced that they intend to activate or to speed up talks with Pakistan and other third countries who are not accepting, not even their own citizens. And it will be very important what sort of tools the EU has to convince or even force these countries to do the work that they are obliged to do according to the agreement concluded with the EU. Thank you. Your questions now, STA. Mr. Šefic, it seems that cooperation with Croatia when it comes to the reception of migrants is going well. Do you have any guarantees or any information that this will be the case in the future as well? Because as far as I understood, this was just the first round. And can you tell us what is the current number of asylum seekers in Slovenia? Now, on cooperation with Croatia, at the operational level, it is good. Of course, we would like it to be much more intense, but we do understand that at this particular moment in time, Croatia is facing a very difficult situation from the point of view of the state authorities of Croatia. And if there is a new government appointed in Croatia, then I'm sure that certain activities will be much more intense in the next week. So I hope and I wish that the initiative given by our minister will be well received, there will be a new impetus, and hopefully we'll be able to work together on all these issues. Now, we've only seen the first train being processed according to the new system. We hope that this will continue. As you know, the Minister of the Interior, just before the expiry of his term of office, said that Croatia would cooperate. Some migrants have also been refused and returned to the Republic of Serbia. So it seems that things are beginning to work. We are still not fully satisfied. We'd like to see more full lists like the ones that we are submitting to the Republic of Austria, but I'm sure that we'll see some progress in the future. As far as asylum seekers are concerned, I think the recent number is 157, or rather 8, so it keeps changing. But over the recent few days, we've not seen any significant increase. So the pace seems to be the same as over the last few months. Next question, please. Dnevnik newspaper. I have a question for Mr. Šefic and for you, Mr. Brozina. Mr. Šefic, you said that you check where the migrants are traveling and where they intend to seek asylum. How do you actually record this? And is this a commitment on their part? Because we heard that in Croatia, migrants sign a declaration that they intend to ask for asylum in Germany. So can you expand on this? And for you, Mr. Brozina, you said that the police forces in Macedonia will help those migrants who are entitled to seek asylum. Now, as far as I understand asylum procedures, this is only checked once they apply for asylum and not any earlier. So I'm speechless because I don't really understand how this is supposed to take place. They have not even requested asylum, and you already know who is entitled to seek asylum? Can you explain, please? Now, concerning the checks, each migrant has a registration form with all the basic data, at least the data that is accessible and available. And on the form, they're also asked to declare where they intend to seek asylum. This is not obligatory, and this is why we've seen certain individual refusals, very limited number. For example, you have a migrant arriving to Austria, and during the interview, they may change their opinion, they may admit, so to speak, that they intend to go to another country, for example. Or you may have a case where a migrant has relatives in Switzerland and they, in fact, intend to go to Switzerland. And this may be ground for refusal for the Austrians. And what happens is that they return to Slovenia and some of them were, in fact, returned. And according to the new system, now people will have to decide what to do. So, yes, I understand your question, and my reply is this is not obligatory. And they have the right to change their mind, so to speak. Well, foreign policemen will help Macedonian police force in Macedonia. Of course, the tasks there are quite complex, and Macedonia does not have enough police forces and other experts. But it is well known who are the refugees coming from the war zones and who have the right to enjoy international protection. And it's also easy to find out who are those coming from countries where there is no war and who are, in fact, economic migrants. They will not be accepted by either Germany or Austria, and we don't want to see those migrants being stuck somewhere in the Balkans. So, in fact, it is all about helping the police do their job, i.e. find out who is in fact entitled to asylum. Well, it's not a polemic, but let me just see if we are on the same page here. It's an individual right, regardless of which country somebody is coming from. Just by way of information, I think 2 years ago, somebody from Serbia got asylum or was granted asylum in Slovenia. Let me explain. We pointed out several times how important it was for asylum procedures to be carried out correctly in Greece, because Greece is the point of entry to the European Union. And if the procedures had been carried out correctly, then people could have asked for international protection, and those cannot then be relocated to other countries. That's the basic thing. But those who are not going to ask for asylum, those are economic migrants, they can be returned. Of course, with the exception of cases of subsidiary protection. And at the Greek-Macedonian border, once we have agreement along the whole route, it will be possible to check whether persons leaving the country are the ones who are actually falling under the first, the system one, so to speak. So we want to have a compact, watertight system, and this is the basic objective. We have to emphasize once again that Greece will be under even more pressure because Greece is the hotspot. Macedonia is also getting a very important role, and this is why both countries need to be helped. First of all, Macedonia, so that the flow of migrants is actually restricted and dammed. We, as in Slovenia, want to first try and control this flow before we can proceed to anything else. At the moment, the figures are going down, in part because of the circumstances, the weather conditions. Still, we can read about tragedies at seas between Greece and Turkey. So migrants are still coming to Europe, and the figures are not small. They are smaller than they used to be, but they are by no means small. But we should be prepared for spring and when the weather changes. But in any case, we need an adequate system in Greece and Macedonia, maybe because countries to the north will not be able to sustain the pressure, or, as some demanded, if, let's say, any country or if any country decided to radically restrict the entry, then the pressure would roll down to the south. And of course, in all cases, this pressure will end in those countries. And this is why, in any case, these countries need to be assisted. And when we release the pressure on the EU countries, when we manage to normalize the situation, this is our final objective, then we can have a more efficient relocation, because countries will be more ready to focus on relocation, because there will be no longer be this burden, this daily pressure. We'll be able to take some burden from the shoulders of Italy, and we'll be able to have the Schengen system fully operational. The basic function of the Schengen system is to prevent cross-border crime, terrorism. This is the key purpose of Schengen. We are not fighting migrants. Schengen is there to provide for safety and security. So these steps are necessary to normalize the situation. And it's very important, as colleague Brusina said, it's very important that there seems to be a will, and it's more expressed, it's more pronounced. So we now need to work on this very intensely. Since our last press conference, we've seen a lot of progress, even though I remember there was a lot of skepticism when we last met. Slovenia will definitely will be the driving force. We'll do everything we can, and we'll invest every effort in order to do what is good for Slovenia, what is good for Europe, migrants, and all countries in the region. Because if we started to close borders, it could result in conflict in the region. It could result in migratory flows turning to other countries where they could be extremely problematic from political and security point of view. And that would end up in a much more serious situation. Another question from STA.
What you said about applications for asylum, could you please explain this with an example? So there's a migrant coming to Europe. He says he wants an asylum in Austria. When he gets there, he says he wants to go to Switzerland or somewhere else, so he's returned to us. What are we going to do? Is he going to stay in Slovenia or what? Well, I have also given a similar example. Well, in this case, we conduct again the registration procedure. We check again because people do change mind, but for different reasons. Some speculate, some have some other reasons why they change their mind. So with the Austrian security authorities, we check if a person maybe has given false information for some subjective reason or not. There have been a few cases like this. On the other hand, it is also true that the Austrian authorities are now very strict and will no longer tolerate such speculations by migrants. Therefore, we tell the migrants that it is important that they tell the truth, because this is much better for them. Otherwise, they will be returned and so on. But if the person really did not have this intention, then he undergoes the system of return. We announce the return to Croatia. And if this is refused, then there will be a return to the country of origin. But it is up to our state to assess how we are going to proceed. I believe that within 8 days, if I'm not mistaken, a person can apply for international protection. They don't have to do it immediately when they cross the border. I believe we have this margin of 8 days, but I'm not completely sure. This is the way things run in practice. So we register them again, then send them back to Austria, and the same system applies to those that are returned to Croatia, and then they come back to Slovenia. Yes, I understand your question. I have stressed the day before yesterday, Austria no longer allows such conduct. Maybe they will allow for an exception occasionally, but we really remind the migrants that they need to decide and what is of importance for them. And we are not going to accept the persons that were refused entry. Maybe there will be an exception but for a particular reason, but generally speaking, not. Well, this is up to the country, our neighbor. Most likely, the person will be returned to the country where he came to our neighboring country. I'm speaking hypothetically, of course. I cannot speak on behalf of other countries, but first the non-formal and then the formal request for return to, let us say, our neighboring country. Unless there are any other questions, well, we will conclude because you have really received a lot of information. So I therefore conclude this press conference, and I would like to thank the two speakers and all of you, the important representatives of the mass media. Goodbye.